Read from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That's why we read in the holy word of God. Text is found in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49. It's based upon the Scripture. and sets forth for us the teaching of God's Word with regard to our prayer, which is the third petition. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. So far we have considered the first two petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We've looked at the first petition, Hallowed be thy name. And we've looked at how this petition is prayed by us as prophets, those who love the Word of God and have an interest in and a love for God's name, as prophets. And we've looked also at the petition, Thy Kingdom Come, and we've looked at how this is prayed by us, God's people, as kings. Kings under Christ, as He established His kingdom in our hearts by grace. This morning we consider the third petition, which is Thy will be done. Thy will be done. We consider how this is prayed by us as we are priests by Christ's anointing. But this is a priestly prayer that our Lord has instructed us here to pray. Thy will be done. Consider that petition under the theme, praying as priests, praying as priests. First of all, a sacrificial prayer. Secondly, a holy prayer. And thirdly, an intercessory prayer. Let's first establish that we are indeed priests. As God's people, we are priests. That was spoken of in the chapter we read just a few moments ago, 1 Peter 2. Twice the teaching that we are priests occurs in the chapter. First of all, in verse 5, ye also as lively stones, that's living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. And then again, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal speaks of the kingliness, but then priesthood. We are priests. That's also taught very plainly in really many passages of Scripture, but we look just at one other one, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And that comes in the context of that beautiful benediction in the first chapter of Revelation. Grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests. And we find again, we are priests, made priests by Christ, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are priests, not naturally, not as we are simply children of Adam, but we are made priests as we are made prophets and kings by the anointing of Jesus Christ. And that because, first of all, Christ is a priest. He is a prophet, He is a king, He is also the high priest over all of God's people, over the whole house, the temple of God. Manifested His priestliness, especially in offering up a sacrifice, which we'll see is a main calling and work of priests. But Christ, we remember, offered up Himself as the sacrifice. It was both the priest to offer and the sacrifice which was offered on behalf of His people and for the remission of our sins. Having accomplished that sacrifice, having offered up that acceptable sacrifice before God, and in the way of offering up that sacrifice unto God, He has made us priests. After He made the sacrifice upon the cross, rose again, ascended up into heaven, and from there on the day of Pentecost, He poured out His Holy Spirit upon His church and continues to pour out the Spirit upon the church. And it is through the Spirit of Christ, as that Spirit is poured out upon us graciously by our Lord Jesus Christ, and as the Spirit comes into us, He makes us to be priests. Good to remember, that's really what's pictured also in the sacrament of baptism as we observed it this morning. The picture of baptism is a picture of the Spirit being poured out upon God's people as that water is sprinkled upon the head of the infant. We think of the Holy Spirit pictured in that water, the Holy Spirit who takes the blessings of Christ and applies them unto us, brings them unto us as He is poured out upon His people. And among those blessings is the blessing that He makes us priests under Him and in our and through our connection with Him. We think of that too. God's people, all of God's people, are priests. Not only the deacons in the church, not only older individuals in the church, people that we might look up to and respect, but even infants, God's elect children, baptized into Jesus Christ with the baptizing of the Holy Spirit, are priests through their union to Christ. But then let's also recognize that there are several aspects to the office, the duties of priests. Look at especially three of those this morning. First of all, sacrifices, and we can see that as we look at the Old Testament priests, the picture of ourselves as God's people, New Testament priests. We think of those Old Testament priests who attended the temple. Their duty, one of their duties, was to be there at the temple so that they could offer sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. The people would bring their sacrifices to the priest, and the priest would offer that up before God. And then also, the priests were to be those who were consecrated unto God. Everyone recognized in the Old Testament the priest was not like the ordinary citizen of the church of Old Testament Israel. That was made very plain by God too, and not giving to them a particular inheritance in the land, but giving them their inheritance to be priests. That was their special position in the nation, unique, distinct, which spoke of the fact that they were in a special way consecrated unto God, separated out from the common, from the ordinary life of the rest of God's people in order to, with wholehearted consecration and devotion to God, to serve Him, to stand in His service very uniquely. That too is part of the life of a priest. And then thirdly, mercy. The priest had to be, in all of the duties that he performed, he had to be motivated by mercy. He had to love God's people and have a pity in his heart for them in all of their miseries, and seek to through his service of God, to serve the people as well, to lift them up, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to lift them up out of that misery into an understanding of the blessedness that they have in God and in Christ. All of these are also part of the office of the calling of New Testament priests. First of all, we focus on the aspect of sacrifices. We as New Testament priests are also called to offer up sacrifices to our God. We see that in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It comes out also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, where we read there that we are in holy priesthood. Then the verse goes on to say we are in holy priesthood to, here's the purpose, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifices, not sheep and goats, lambs and oxen, but spiritual sacrifices. The sacrifice, then, beloved, is first of all something that is given to God. When one makes a sacrifice, he gives over something to God, something that he has, something that he might like to keep. Really, if it's a proper, acceptable sacrifice, it would be something like that. But something that instead he gives to God. So it is then something also that he gives to God that is valuable to himself. He doesn't dig around in his pocket and see what might be there and say, well, this will work, and he gives that to God. Something that he had almost forgotten about, something that meant very little to him, that's not a sacrifice. Something that's valuable, something that's precious, something that's of worth to the individual. He gives that to God as a sacrifice. A sacrifice then is difficult to offer. The sacrifice that we give to God always involves a certain loss. For me, for the person who makes the sacrifice, for the priest. The sacrifice is also something given to God as a thankful token. The sacrifice for a New Testament priest, for ourselves as New Testament priests of God, must be something that we give thankfully to God. We don't offer the sacrifice of the heathen, of the pagan, a sacrifice by which we imagine we will change God's mind or by which we might appease the wrath of an angry God. That sacrifice has been performed already. That sacrifice has been given through Jesus Christ. He gave the sacrifice by which He absorbed all the wrath of God for us and satisfied all that wrath of God. We don't give that kind of sacrifice. We give a sacrifice that we recognize does not earn us anything with God. We give a sacrifice knowing that what we give is His already. We're not giving Him something that He desperately needs and that we have and we could withhold to His loss. Something that is His already, something that belongs to Him, but something that we have been entrusted with and which is precious to us, and which we give to Him then as an act of thankfulness, of love. Really, our whole life is to be such a sacrifice. But in prayer especially, we offer a sacrifice to God. Not merely do we mean external prayer that is simply the words? That's not a sacrifice in itself. But prayer from the heart. Prayer offered to God with meaning. spoken in sincerity. Prayer is sacrifice then when in prayer we offer ourselves up to God. Thankfulness before Him. The fundamental way that we do that is by saying the words, "Thy will be done." That's what Jesus was teaching us and saying, here is what you pray. You pray, "Thy will be done." And as such, you will stand before me as priests, offering up unto me the sacrifice of your own life. That means, when we say, "Thy will be done," that means what we're really saying is, "Lord, I offer up unto Thee my own will. I renounce my own will," in the words of the Heidelberg Catechism. The Catechism says this petition means, first, that is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will. Then we say to God, "Not my will, but Thine. Not my will, but Thine be done." That means then, beloved, that we must mortify our own willfulness. That's the sacrifice that we bring to God. We put to death our own will. We do that in prayer before God. And with those words, "Thy will be done," we're saying, "My will must be mortified. My willfulness, my preferences, my likes don't matter. I put them to death. I offer them as a sacrifice unto Thee. I put them aside." Sometimes painfully, but we put them aside. That's part of our life as God's baptized people too, as we live in God's covenant. As the form for the administration of baptism says in the third section, as explaining what baptism is, thirdly, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, etc. Forsaking the world, forsaking all the delights and all the temptations and all the attractiveness of the world, we say no to that all, renouncing that and the will, sinful will within us that is attracted to it. We're not speaking then, of course, of doing that in our actions or merely in our words, but again, reminded that we mean it from the heart in prayer before God, wrestling with our own will in prayer before God. But then secondly, we renounce our own will, we throw aside our own will, we sacrifice, offer it up unto God in thankfulness to Him for saving us, but then also we take up His will as our own. That's also the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism here. That we grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey Thy will, so that everyone may go on to attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling. As faithfully as the angels do, we seek to obey the will of God. Consecrated unto Him. We say, "Thy will, O Lord," that's all that matters unto me. It's Thy will that I might serve Thee, walk according to that which Thou dost command. That's what I must do. That's what I desire. We say that to the Lord in prayer. We come before Him in prayer and lay that out before Him and ask Him to continue to grant us the grace to walk according to His will and to obey Him in consecration unto Him. Priests then also serve God, as we said. They walk in consecration and devotion to God. They say, "Not my will, I'm not here on my own, I'm not here to do my own thing, I'm here to be a servant of God My will must be renounced so that I might obey God's will. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ in the garden as He prayed. That was exactly what He did and what He said, isn't it? If it be possible, remove this cup from me. And then He says, but nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Offered Himself up there as our High Priest. And by the grace and the power of His life in us, we, by Him working in us, do the same as priests. We do that as we pray, Thy will, O God, be done. It's especially important when we're faced with the difficulty of following His will. God puts some calling before us and makes plain, this is the way that you must now walk. Or when God in our life does something in our life, brings an illness, an injury, takes away a loved one. And then, of course, His command always comes with that, and He says to us, submit now to My way. Be meek and humble in that way, and cheerfully and without murmuring, walk with Me in the way that I have led you, in the way that I am leading you. Then we pray, Lord, Thy will be done. I renounce my own will, what I might want, what I might prefer, what I think is the better way. I put that aside. As Thy priest, I say, I recognize I am Thy servant and I only am to obey Thee and serve Thee and walk with Thee. So may Thy will be done then also in me, so that I walk in Thy ways and according to that will of Thine in submission before Thee. It must be done not only in those very difficult moments of life, but it must be done all the time. We need to make a practice of this all of the time in our prayers, so that when those difficult moments come, we've learned. So this is not a foreign behavior to me that I now must say Thy will be done, but this is something I've learned through the years and through the days and through the many moments of prayer where I have come to the Lord and laid aside my own will to take up His will and walk according to it. If we pray that way, then we will live that way too. There's always a harmony between our prayer and our life. We'll live according to God's revealed will, and we'll say, Thy will be done, and we'll do that will of God. Then we'll live our whole life as faithful priests, serving God, in our whole station and calling, wherever God places us in this world, in whatever circumstance He puts us in. The Catechism mentions that station and calling. The calling, beloved, to be a priest of God is not to start up something unique, to set ourselves out as noteworthy, to do something really dramatic, something that everyone notices, or to do some strange spiritual behavior, or that we imagine would be a spiritual behavior, so as to really make it plain that we're priests. God doesn't want any of that. He's not interested in that. He doesn't require that of us. He says, listen, you walk as priests in the station and in the calling I have placed you. Whatever that might be, your daily labors, the daily calling that I have given to you, in that place you walk according to My will and not your own, in holy consecration to Me. In your station, in the home or in the church. You walk according to my will. You say, thy will be done, not mine, but thy will be done. And you walk in holiness. That's real holiness, beloved. That's the holy living of a consecrated priest according to the Scripture. Then when God places us in a family as a child, then we say, it's God's will that must be done. And children have to learn to say that. They learn to say that through parents who say, no, not your will, but my will is the will that must dominate in this home. My will is the will that will be done. That's not a selfishness on the point of parents. That's a forming and a shaping little priests so that they might serve God. As parents, point them to their duty to obey in their life, not to find their happiness by going their own way and doing whatever they want. That's not the way to happiness. That's not the way of a child of God. That's not the thankful life of a holy, consecrated priest. The parent says, you obey God, and you learn to obey God more and more by obeying me and submitting to my will. And then too, as parents in the home, we will look not at all the different stations and callings this morning, but just this one too yet. As parents, we submit to the will of God. We say, Lord, not thy, my will be done, but thy will be done. I'm not here on this earth so that I might have what I want and have it my way, but I'm here on this earth to raise thy covenant seed, speaking of those who are fathers and mothers and have children. That's my calling. That's my station. And in all of the difficulty that God gives to us that goes along with that station and calling, we say, thy will be done. That's holy living. That's living with the holiness of priests. In order to do that, we must also be prophets and kings. There's one office, really. Three different aspects to that office, but one office. As a priest, we must know the will of God. We must understand the will of God. We must know and understand clearly the doctrine of God's Word. And then as kings, we say, rule over us. Great King, rule over us as we are kings under Thee. Rule over us with Thy gracious, efficacious scepter, so that now we walk according to that Word by Thy Spirit. Give us the power to walk in it. And then as priests, we live out of that knowledge and we live by that power. A life of holy consecration, serving our God. But then also we recognize, as children of God, anointed with the Spirit, placed in the church, we recognized, I am not the only priest of God. There are others also who are His people and who are as much a priest of His as I am. They also have that same calling to put away their own will and to walk in God's will and to find their peace and thankful way of thankful service in that way of performing His will. And then too, we notice they often have many burdens and difficulties that make it very hard for them to walk in that way. And so we are merciful. The priest is always one who is characterized by mercy. That's why we speak of mercy so much in connection with our deacons. The deacons occupy the special office in the New Testament church, which corresponds to the office of priests in the Old Testament. They must be men, above all, men of mercy, of wisdom, and all the rest too, but of mercy. But all of us are those individuals of mercy. Again, as partaking of that blessing of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who is our merciful High Priest. And as our merciful High Priest offers up prayers unto God on our behalf, He is our intercessor. So too then we, under Him, recognize our calling to pray for one another. That's our calling. That comes out even in this Heidelberg Catechism. It's in fact brought out very plainly in this particular Lord's Day. Calling to pray for one another. Grant that we and all men may renounce our own will. Take that especially to refer to all of God's people, wherever they might be. That we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. And then again this, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. So we pray on behalf of our fellow saints, our fellow priests, but we pray as priests, interceding for one another, praying for one another. Deacons must do that, must be part of their work and office. They look at God's people and they look out over God's people and they see especially certain ones who struggle and have a difficult way, and they bring to them a word of mercy, but they also come and they pray with them. They bring the word of God, but they also pray, lifting up prayers on behalf of those individuals or families whom they serve mercifully. Deacons can be reminded also that their calling to pray can extend beyond simply those formal visits, but must also find time, set aside time to perform their office as reflected in prayer. Unknown to others, as a body certainly at their meetings, but also unknown to others, personally and privately they pray for those whom they serve. The pastor and elders also perform that duty, even though not as directly revealed as priests, as the deacons, yet still sharing in that one office. But then too, fathers and mothers pray for their children, interceding for them with mercy. They pray out of mercy, out of pity, when their children struggle with sin and when their children struggle with obeying God's will. We must, as parents, bring those petitions to God and say to the Lord, Lord, may it be not only for me personally, but also for those children, those covenant children whom Thou hast given to me. May it be that they renounce their own will. I can't make that happen. As a parent, we can't do that. No one else can make that happen. That's a work of God in their heart. Only God can cause His children to renounce their own will and then with cheerfulness, without murmuring, obey. Obey Him. Walk in His way. And so we pray, Lord, have mercy upon my children. Don't let them go in the way of sin. Have pity upon them. Show them Thy grace and Thy loving kindness, causing them to renounce their own will and walk in that way of blessing and the way of knowing Thy friendship and enjoying Thy fellowship and favor in the midst of their days. And then also, As God's people, we look out over the congregation, every one of us, and we see those, we know those, who have loss or bear burdens and struggle against illnesses and injuries, and even those who struggle with wayward family members or other heavy burdens. And in pity and mercy, we pray, Lord, guard them, uphold them, strengthen them in that way. We know how hard it is to walk in that way. We say, Lord, let them work in them so that they renounce their own will and walk with Thee through that trial. And find grace and strength from Thee in that way. Praying in that way, beloved, by the anointing of the Spirit of Christ, praying in that way, then we pray also as our chief high priest, as the one who is our intercessor, who takes our prayers, all of them, cleanses them, purifies them, and offers them up unto God as acceptable sacrifices to Him. Pray with that confidence in Jesus Christ, your high priest. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word, and we pray that Thou wilt impress it into our hearts, that we may walk as Thy priests in this world, rejoicing that we have a priest, a perfect high priest, one without fault and without blame, one who walked according to Thy will, perfectly, perfectly, and who offered Himself for us, that we now may be so richly blessed as to be graced with Thy Spirit and walk as priests with Him and under Him and by His grace and power. We pray that we may continue to learn how to pray and may walk in our stations and callings as Thy praying people. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.